it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
All right, it is Loud and Local right now. I'm talking with a band called Lilith, and they have an album called Post Deus. They have a couple shows coming up. And then August 31st, a house show in Tacoma, which is, ask around. You'll find out where it's at. But the Charleston, July 8th at in Bremerton. Guys, Lilith, welcome to the show. How you guys doing?
Hello, doing well.
Doing good.
Right on.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So starting with you, David, what's your name and what do you do in Lilith?
Yeah, so I'm David. I play drums. I do just a little teeny bit of singing also.
Cool. All right, who wants to jump in?
I'm Sawyer. I do one of the two guitars in here along with Justin.
Awesome.
I am Asa. I play the bass and not much else.
Right on.
I'm the vocalist. I'm Garrett.
Cool. Right on, guys. Well, thanks for coming in to the meeting and, doing this interview. And can I get someone who wants to hop in real quick and just kind of give me a Cliff's Notes version of like what's the origin story of Lilith?
Go ahead.
Okay. So this band sort of came out of another band that I was supposed to play drums for. Garrett was fronting and Justin was playing guitar for. That was about 5 years ago now. And then things just didn't work out with that for one reason or another. But me and Garrett kept playing together with another guy named Greg, who unfortunately passed away a year and a half ago, something like that. So rest in peace, Greg. The rest of us sort of converged. I think we've had Sawyer in the band for what, like 4 months now, something like that. You made your live debut. Sawyer and Asa both are the newest, but the rest of us have been at it me and Garrett have been at it for 4 years, basically, as Lilith. Everybody else kind of came in over time, but we did the album. Tracks from the album were written as far back as like 2016.
Wow.
Is that right, Garrett?
Yeah. I was in another band that broke up in 2016, and we weren't really supposed to break up, but like two people quit and it just kind of fell apart.
Sure.
And two of the Lilith tracks are like remnants from that. And the rest of the record Post Deus was like built off those two songs.
Okay, cool. Nice. Right on. Well, so if you don't mind me asking, where does the name Lilith come from? It's stylized Lilith with a period. If you're looking for it, like on Spotify or something, that's the way it's stylized, but pronunciation Lilith, where's the name come from, guys?
Neon Genesis Evangelion, baby. We are cool. Weeb trash. At least me and Garrett are.
I like it.
Yeah.
The period is a shout out to a really good band called Lilith, if anybody's heard of them. So they
Of course, yeah. Shout out to Jason from Fever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we were hoping that the period was going to like help our SEO, not realizing at the time that that doesn't register on search engines. So.
Oh, that's funny.
It's just a cool thing.
Fair enough. Well, okay, so you get the band going. So I see, you know, a couple of the t-shirts you guys are rocking, you know, a Poison the Well hoodie, Kubla Khan shirt. You know, were you guys going for just like really like heavy kind of metalcore style? Was that kind of the vision?
Dude, I'm the songs on Post Deus, I was the primary songwriting force for, mm-hmm. and I'm 30, right? 31, yeah. I guess. So like early metalcore is my thing. That's what I love. So, but yeah, Well is one of my favorite bands, along with bands like Walls of Jericho and Martyr AD and stuff like that. So that's where a lot of my influence comes from, and a lot of modern bands too, like Kubla Khan and Code Orange and Harmsway, like that. Stuff like that. Sorry, we're on the radio.
It's all good. We are not live. It's all good. Oh, well, man. you can probably tell I like metalcore too. I'm wearing a Dying Wish hat. So
hell yeah.
Right on.
So okay, cool guys. Well, what do you guys think about like the current, like it's like a renaissance of metalcore, you know? You stick around long enough and something's cool again, you know? How's that feel to see the rise of you know, retro metalcore back?
It's funny, I've almost gotten shy about saying metalcore. I've like straight up pivoted to calling ourselves metallic hardcore because I feel like the metalcore terminology, like people hear that and they think like, oh, you sound like Architects or Bad Wolves or whatever, which I mean, and no shade against those bands or anything, that's just like, that's not our vibe. That's not what we sound like. So if I use the term metallic hardcore,
changed the definition of metalcore the last 4 years, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. You know, we don't have like gent parts or anything. but I'm very happy with all the bands that have kind of become prominent lately.
I'd say you're a little closer to like the Shai Hulud than the Architects, you know, in my opinion. But
yes, I appreciate it. That's what we went for. That was the goal. I do like the Renaissance happening. It's good to hear Chugs being cool again.
Yes.
I mean, even when it was kind of dead, it wasn't. So yeah. I've been going to like I listen to hardcore just as much as I listen to metalcore, and I've been mm-hmm. going to DIY hardcore shows for as long as I can remember, and like, I don't know. They're like, even in like 2010, when like, I don't know, like, you know, there was metalcore bands playing that were good, mm-hmm. that were like of the old guard, of the old sound, that like they just didn't, like, it was all down at a lower level. You know what I mean? Like it didn't pop off the same way. And so like now to see it pop off is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those things that feels like it never went away to the people who were there. It's kind of like, you know, you talk to like older people about records and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, like it's so weird that people collect records now. And it's like, if you come from punk and hardcore, like records never went away.
Totally.
And so it feels the same way about like metalcore coming back full speed to me anyway. So I never went anywhere.
It never died.
Yeah. True.
So just reading up on your band a little bit, you know, even in your bio and everything, your imagery, your song titles, it's pretty obvious you guys aren't Bible thumpers. where did the influence, the idea to kind of be super anti-religion? And why don't you kind of, you know, just tell me a little bit about that?
So for me, like lyrically, this record was kind of I started writing about like some socio-political stuff, and that's kind of what I was inspired by in the beginning. And I really wanted to get away from some of the personal content that I was writing with my old band. And I started diving into that. And as I started to write these lyrics about war and the state of the world and like America's place and all that and stuff, like I found myself like going back to religion is like a root cause of a lot of problems. And like the I guess like the overall ideology that it puts on people in things like manifest destiny, or like, you know, believing they have like the right to destroy the earth or whatever for progress and what have you. And like that kind of stuff, it just kept sending me back to like this anti-religious tone. And growing up growing up Christian and then like abandoning it as a late teenager is kind of what I went through. And I have a relationship with religion, I guess, that's like kind of toxic. It kind of put a bad taste in my mouth once I found my way out of it and realized what it quelled and what it stopped me from thinking as a teenager. And I feel like my mind opened up a lot after that. And so this record, as it kind of, I like to say that it kind of like devolves from like a socio-political outworld world analysis into like a kind of an introspective view, like based on that anti-religiousness. Like it's all kind of centered into that. And by the end, you're diving into like concepts that I think are difficult, if not impossible, for religion. And like existentialism and nihilism, and like how those things can like inform good behavior in humans.
Okay, so. David, Sawyer, Asa, you guys agree?
Yeah, I personally am.
They're like, no, man, I'm hella Christian, dude.
I'm a post-religious person.
I don't know so much about Sawyer. But I would imagine three of us, myself, David, and Garrett, probably, I know we all have our own weird little stories about growing up with just weird little things that would happen to us as a product of religion and just the way it rubbed off on us in like a really weird way. And then growing up to be an adult and looking back on those things and just realizing like that was kind of messed up. And I don't understand how more people don't realize that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up mostly non-religious, so to slowly be exposed to it more over time really framed it in a lens of oddness as it was, you know, slowly injected more or less throughout my life. And seeing people make decisions based on something that was more or less alien to me at the time definitely, yeah, gives me a frame of reference that makes me land in the same kind of state of mind as the rest of us here.
Yeah, dude, it's funny. When we were writing this, to me, in some ways, like, the record is a snapshot. Even though I didn't write the lyrics, but I was, you know, in Garrett's vicinity as a lot of this stuff was coming together, and it's kind of a snapshot. Like, I feel like I've softened quite a bit on some of my more edgy atheist tendencies that were, like, raging while we were putting the whole thing together. But, That's not to contradict anything on there.
Yeah, and really, like, I mean, to go on what David just said there, like, yeah, the anti-religiousness, like, I don't know, there's like an alienation that comes with that because like still 70 some odd percent of people in this country are Christian, right? And like, you know, it's not to say that like people who or bad or whatever, anything like that, and like I wouldn't call my views edgy. I just think it's just that people should take a step back, and if they look at what they believe from like a philosophical point of view, as if it's not like the only option or the only thought process out there, like Christianity like isn't a bad thing in that way, you know, like the philosophical concepts that were taught by people, like a lot of them are okay, but a lot of them are really not. So between those two things, I think people should take a step back and look at that rather than, you know, accept what they have going on there. And if you haven't taken the time to invest in any other schools of thought, whether it be another religion or just some philosophical ideas, then like you're missing out on like a whole world.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys being, you know, upfront about all of this. Obviously, you know, if you take a look into any of Lilith's, you know, lyrics and imagery and your bio and stuff, it's all up there. So I'm just curious. I'm always, you know, I interview, you know, bands, you know, that like I interview metalcore bands that are Christian. I even interview death metal bands that are super satanic. You know, I interview people that are, you know, have no stance whatsoever. So I'm always just curious where people are coming from as far as like the lyrical, you know, inspirations and stuff. So you guys have the album is Post Deus. It was released in 2021. Did you guys finish this during the pandemic or was this
Yes, it was mastered like the day that the stay home order went into effect or something. Oh, is that wow. right?
Yeah, we were a decade sound in Tacoma getting it mastered, and I got an email from my work basically saying, "Hey, don't come back for 2 weeks." Like, oh, I guess this is serious.
Yeah, it was like literally the next day, like everything shut down after it got done.
Oh yeah, that's right. The 2 weeks shelter in place, just yep. Everything will be fine in 2 weeks. You know, just don't yeah, worry. That happened.
You know? Right, that's where we thought we were going. We're like,
flatten okay, the curve, well, 2 weeks, no big deal.
Yeah, we're like, well, we're not going to put this out for a month anyways. Well, you know, that's what we were thinking at the time. And then, you know, it really started to go downhill after that. So
just don't come into work. Just bang your pots and pans for medical workers. And, you know, we'll just
not about that.
Sing Imagine oh, yeah, all the dude. People, you know, and
for the first couple nights, I smashed a China symbol on our back porch when they would come back. That got old quick.
Yeah. So the record came out during the pandemic. I guess, how did the pandemic affect you guys as musicians, as a band and stuff? Did you guys still practice? Were you guys able to work on new material? How did it affect you guys?
Yeah.
Pretty badly.
So me and Garrett and Asa all live together.
Okay.
So from that side of things, it was kind of easy. Jam sessions were able to happen in the garage and whatnot. Yeah. Personally, like, I was literally like in LA getting ready to do South by Southwest. I was playing with this other like singer-songwriter dude. And so that, like, because I was going on tour a lot pre-pandemic, and obviously that all came to a grinding halt. But like for us, it shifted our focus to doing music videos very, nice. Very rapidly. All of a sudden it was like, well, that's like literally all we can do. Outside of trying to do some kind of, you know, like broadcasted stage performance type thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a couple bands made that work early on, but I also got over that relatively quickly. The Code Orange stuff was cool.
Yes, yeah. they really knocked it out of the park with that, and they elevated on such a short notice too.
Yeah, but they had like a lot more budget available, so.
And they had Hate 5-6 behind the camera, so.
Yeah, Sonny, they had a lot of synergistic factors going on there. Plus the fact that they were like already about to go on tour and had their whole stage mm-hmm. show prepped for that. Yeah. And anyways. So yeah, we made a bunch of music videos.
Cool, nice.
And it got depressed. Benefited us
in terms of our live performance the last month or two, because we had a lot of time to really get this stuff tight. Also. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, I hate to be a downer, but like I think for the sake of our band, it's important to mention, like, Greg passed during the pandemic, and like that was like, you know, we had to take a step back at that point in time. Yeah. And give ourselves a little bit of room to breathe before we got this back together. And like, I don't know, the isolation in conjunction with David and I living together, because at the time it was just me, David, and Greg, right? And Asa lived with us too. Asa engineered our record, by the way. I always like awesome. To mention that. Yeah. So he mixed it, recorded it, everything. So
awesome.
And then joined the band after the fact. Mm-hmm. So anyway, with all that happening, like, it kind of gave us some room to breathe and accept the things that had happened and figure out, like, pragmatically over time, like, how to move forward, like, in terms of, like, actually moving forward and, like, emotionally doing so.
Yeah. Wow. I imagine that was a heavy, heavy, you know, few months and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Sawyer, how did you join? How'd you jump aboard the Lilith train?
Yeah, I've known David for a really long time. Awesome. We became friends right after high school. They were looking for a second live guitarist. And I have never played anything approaching metal before. I've usually been in little alternative rock bands, and I write my little pop rock and have a good time with my synthesizers.
Yeah.
But David said they were looking for someone with this because I had seen him at his wedding, actually. And I was like, hey, awesome. if you need extra guitar on anything sometime, let me know. It'd be good to play together. And he's like, well, there's this band, Lilith, that I'm playing with, actually, that's starting to try and do live shows. So I tried to learn a couple of them, and it was a new style for me, but it was a lot of fun. And yeah, they let me through after a couple tryouts, and it's been a ton of fun doing the show so far with them.
Yo, getting okay, exposed to the whole team. I have to give Sawyer so much credit because, like, oh my god, we tried probably what 6 other guitar players before him.
It was so many. Like, so many people came through like one time and just didn't pass the vibe check or like weren't completely there or anything, and it was just, you know.
Like, and they were all these dudes who had been in like hardcore bands for years, and they were just like struggling through the songs. Meanwhile, Sawyer, who's like never alternate picked at 180 BPM in his life, comes in and like puts in the dedication for 2 weeks, grinds on the metronome, and like is pulling everything off now. So
nice.
Like,
there you go.
Don't sell yourself short, my dude.
I appreciate it. Well, I got really bummed out during COVID and didn't play guitar very much for like the first year there. So it was kind of my coming back to guitar really strong was just like, hey, you know, I'm gonna play faster than I've ever played my whole life to
get
this thing down. So it was honestly like motivation to come back to guitar strongly right at the right time. So
that's awesome. So coming from, you know, an outsider to this, you know, hardcore and metal and stuff, just like being total blind spot and coming in and playing in this, what do you feel, how do you feel about the live shows, and how do you feel about people, you know, fighting the invisible ninja in the pit and all of this stuff? It's got to be so foreign to you.
It is, but it's been fun, and everybody in the band has been really helpful at educating me, because, you know, I don't want to go through this blind. I don't want to be the alternative rock poser boy in the metalcore band, sure, right? Sure. So, you know, I early on made me a playlist of songs that I should have a listen to. I've got a fucking book that I'm working my way through about the American hardcore scene, so I have a little background, and man, the shows are fun. Yeah, people are throwing around and kicking a little bit more than the little alt rock shows, but everything's been positive vibes at all of them so far. It's cool to get to understand the nuance of heavier genres like this a little bit more, and then I get to, you know, appreciate the writing that I'm fortunate enough to play through that lens as I'm learning more too, right? Because like, this is the only metalcore or the only real metal I've ever played, so now to get to understand what the other bands are doing a little bit better too is tons of fun. So
and I think, like, you know, coming from a different background will give you you guys a fuller sound and maybe round out, you know, like if everyone's coming from the same place, then, you know, maybe everyone's speaking the same thing and it might, you know, sound, you know, too similar to other stuff. If you're coming in with different influences, you know, you have new ears and new ideas, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be fun when we're talking about recording some new stuff pretty soon here too. Cool. So that will be you know, the first stuff that I'm actually on record with Lilith on, as long as we do that as planned. So you know, it'll be fun to see how that all shakes out.
Awesome. Well, we're actually going to go into one of the songs from Post Deus. We're going to go into let's see here. We're going to go into Misled. And anything you guys want to say about this before we jump in?
Live, we have a sick Metal Gear Solid sample for this song.
Okay, nice.
That's it's very goofy.
Here's Lilith. It's Loud and Local on KISW. We'll be back with more from Lilith. Here is Misled.
We'll be right back.
Misled by Lilith from the album Post Deus, and they are actually going to be playing. And then August 31st, the Hammerhead House in Tacoma. Ask around for the directions to that one, and you should be able to find out. So just curious about, you know, since this is a Northwest-focused radio program, starting with you, David, again, what's your favorite or a couple of your favorite Northwest bands of all time? Could be current bands, could be long-gone bands, doesn't matter.
Well, the Melvins were one of my first loves from when I was like literally 3 years old. My dad was playing the Melvins for me.
Awesome. That's a cool dad.
Dude, I used to like run around the living room and like windmill before I didn't even know how hardcore dancing was or anything. That was just like what I like felt natural.
That's just kids swinging my moshing around. Yeah, that's just kids.
It's a Honey Bucket. Honey Bucket was my favorite song.
Nice.
Other Seattle bands, shout out Kaizo, shout out IS Luna. We played a few shows out of town with them a couple weeks ago. Also a big fan of Spur.
Okay.
He's got a demo out. Filth is Eternal is probably my favorite hard band here right now. Yeah. That Foley fit drop is sick. There's a million others who I should shout out, but I'm gonna forget. But
Garrett, Asa.
My favorite Northwest bands of all time. Number one is Trial, without a doubt.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, Trial's a very important hardcore band, and I think they kind of changed the face of the music for a while, and very enlightened. If you haven't heard of them, you should check them out. And then a band that didn't make it quite as big called Cowardice. I became really, really close friends with the vocalist of that band over the years, and that band sparked it kind of like sparked me to start playing music, no lie. So those would have to be my favorites.
Trial and Cowardice, right on. Shout out to Greg and Jeremy equally.
Yo.
And Asa, what about you?
Ooh. I mean, as far as local bands currently around, I think last time you got asked to shout out a band, bands in a podcast, you totally missed Lion and the Sloth. And
Great
I would feel bad if they don't get I don't even know how to describe them, but that was an experience when I finally got to see them live. But like, awesome. I was a grunge guy growing up ever since I was like 4 years old. I think my earliest musical memory was, just to be cliche, with Nirvana. Like,
yeah.
And like all that stuff. But then, I don't really keep track of the local scene for years. After high school, I actually went to school for music, but I did classical. So I'm a saxophone player. So I guess I'd be remorse to not shout out my man, Kenny G, who's from Seattle.
There you go. He's in Seattle. Yeah. Did you watch, are you familiar with the black metal band called Imperial Triumphant? They just had Kenny G on one of their songs.
Really? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Kenny G and his son.
That dude can shred.
Yeah, they're like, both on the new Imperial Triumphant song and music video. They're both wearing like gas masks playing saxophone through it.
Okay, I'm gonna have to check that out. That's cool.
Imperial Triumphant, check it out.
Yo, Asa, whose record did you mix recently?
Oh, Torn?
Yep.
Yeah,
Torn. Yeah, we did the Torn record very recently. I guess you had them on very recently.
I did.
We live with their now bass player.
Oh, nice.
Taylor.
Yeah. Cool. Right on. And Sawyer, what about you? Favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite Northwest bands is not hardcore at all. But I love me some Harvey Danger.
Yeah.
But
great.
As far as hardcore bands so far that I've gotten introduced to locally, some of my favorites we've played with so far are Self Deprecator and Rainbow Coalition Death Cult. Both. Cool.
Rainbow Coalition Death Cult is awesome.
Yeah, they rock. Self-Deprecator also is awesome. Some of the coolest, most complex guitar I've seen in a hardcore three-piece like that live. It's super impressive stuff.
That's awesome. Right on, guys. Well, you know, you guys coming up here on a couple shows, do you guys have any more plans for 2022?
We're working on booking a quick tour in September, so... Hopefully that manifests. We're DIY kids, so doing it ourselves, so you know, that comes with its own trials and tribulations. But if anything, we'll end up at least getting a few cool shows out of it.
Awesome. Right on. What's the best way to...
Hopefully
new music by fall. Right on. What's the best way to support you guys?
Probably picking up the record on Bandcamp. Digitally, Bandcamp's an awesome platform. I think if any of your listeners don't know about it, they should check it out. It's the best way to directly support artists. You can purchase digital music, stream it from their app, use it like any other streaming service, and you'll find stuff on there that gets buried deep in Spotify and Apple Music.
Definitely.
We also have shirts and hoodies. I think just a couple left on there, but we have a new merch order coming in soon. The design is... pretty extra. Hope you like anime. That's
certainly one way of describing it.
Anime. Okay, nice. Right on. Cool. All right, guys. Well, we're going to go into one more song here. And again, just to mention, July 8th at the Charleston in Bremerton, Lilith is going to be playing. And then also August 31st at the Hammerhead House in Tacoma. The post AS is out now. This is what we're playing the songs from. And we're going to go into part two. Any final words for Loud and Local?
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Kickbox in the pit.
There you go. It's part two by Lilith here on Loud and Local.
Let's go. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
All right, it is Loud and Local right now. I'm talking with a band called Lilith, and they have an album called Post Deus. They have a couple shows coming up. And then August 31st, a house show in Tacoma, which is, ask around. You'll find out where it's at. But the Charleston, July 8th at in Bremerton. Guys, Lilith, welcome to the show. How you guys doing?
Hello, doing well.
Doing good.
Right on.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So starting with you, David, what's your name and what do you do in Lilith?
Yeah, so I'm David. I play drums. I do just a little teeny bit of singing also. Cool.
All right, who wants to jump in?
I'm Sawyer. I do one of the two guitars in here along with Justin.
Awesome.
I am Asa. I play the bass and not much else.
Right on.
I'm the vocalist. I'm Garrett.
Cool. Right on, guys. Well, thanks for coming in to the meeting and, doing this interview. And can I get someone who wants to hop in real quick and just kind of give me a Cliff's Notes version of like what's the origin story of Lilith?
Go ahead.
Okay. So this band sort of came out of another band that I was supposed to play drums for. Garrett was fronting and Justin was playing guitar for. That was about 5 years ago now. And then things just didn't work out with that for one reason or another, but me and Garrett kept playing together with another guy named Greg, who unfortunately passed away a year and a half ago, something like that. So rest in peace, Greg. The rest of us sort of converged. I think we've had Sawyer in the band for, 4 months now, something like that. You made your live debut. Sawyer and Asa both are the newest, but the rest of us have been at it me and Garrett have been at it for 4 years, basically, as Lilith. Everybody else kind of came in over time, but we did the album. Tracks from the album were written as far back as 2016.
Wow.
Is that right, Garrett?
Yeah. I was in another band, that broke up in 2016 and we weren't really supposed to break up, but two people quit and it just kind of fell apart.
Sure.
And two of the Lilith tracks are remnants from that, and the rest of the record, Post Deus, was built off those two songs.
Okay, cool. Nice. Right on. Well, so if you don't mind me asking, where does the name Lilith come from? It's stylized Lilith with a period if you're looking for it on Spotify or something. That's the way it's stylized. But pronunciation Lilith, where's the name come from, guys?
Neon Genesis Evangelion, baby. We are cool. Weeb trash. At least me and Garrett are.
I like it.
Yeah.
The period is a shout out to a really good band called Lilith, if anybody's heard of them. So they
of course, yeah. Shout out to Jason from Fever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we were hoping that the period was going to help our SEO, not realizing at the time that that doesn't register on search engines. So.
Oh, that's funny.
It's just a cool thing.
Fair enough. Well, okay, so you get the band going. So I see, you know, a couple of the t-shirts you guys are rocking, you know, a Poison the Well hoodie, Kubla Khan shirt. You know, were you guys going for just like really like heavy kind of metalcore style? Was that kind of the vision?
Dude, I'm the songs on Post Deus, I was the primary songwriting force for, mm-hmm. and I'm 30, right? 31, yeah. I guess. So like early metalcore is my thing. That's what I love. So but yeah, Well is one of my favorite bands, along with bands like Walls of Jericho and Martyr AD and stuff like that. So that's where a lot of my influence comes from, and a lot of modern bands too, like Kubla Khan and Code Orange and Harm's Way, like that stuff like that. Sorry, we're on the radio.
It's all good. We are not live. It's all good. Oh. Well, you can probably tell I like metalcore too. I'm wearing a Dying Wish hat. So
hell yeah,
right on.
So okay, cool guys. Well, what do you guys think about like the current, like it's like a renaissance of metalcore, you know? You stick around long enough and something's cool again, you know? How's that feel to see the rise of you know, retro metalcore back?
It's funny, I've almost gotten shy about saying metalcore. I've like straight up pivoted to calling ourselves metallic hardcore, because I feel like the metalcore terminology, like people hear that and they think like, oh, you sound like Architects or Bad Wolves or whatever, which I mean, and no shade against those bands or anything. That's just like, that's not our vibe. That's not what we sound like. So if I use the term metallic hardcore,
changed the definition of metalcore the last 4 years, apparently.
Yeah. Sure. You know, we don't have like gent parts or anything. but I'm very happy with all the bands that have kind of become prominent lately.
I'd say you're a little closer to like the Shai Hulud than the Architects, you know, in my opinion. But
yes, I appreciate it. That's what we went for. That was the goal. I do like the Renaissance happening. It's good to hear Chugs being cool again.
Yes.
I mean, even when it was kind of dead, it wasn't. So yeah. I've been going to like I listen to hardcore just as much as I listen to metalcore, and I've been mm-hmm. going to DIY hardcore shows for as long as I can remember, and like, I don't know, they're like, even in like 2010, when like, I don't know, like, you know, there was metalcore bands playing that were good, mm-hmm. that were like of the old guard, of the old sound, that like they just didn't, like, it was all down at a lower level, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it didn't pop off the same way. And so like now to see it pop off is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those things that feels like it never went away to the people who were there. It's kind of like, you know, you talk to like older people about records and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, like it's so weird that people collect records now. And it's like, if you come from punk and hardcore, like records never went away.
Totally.
And so it feels the same way about like metalcore coming back full speed to me anyway. So I never went anywhere.
It never died.
Yeah. True.
So just reading up on your band a little bit, you know, even in your bio and everything, the imagery, your song titles, it's pretty obvious you guys aren't Bible thumpers. where did the influence, the idea to kind of be super anti-religion? And why don't you kind of, you know, just tell me a little bit about that?
So for me, like lyrically, this record was kind of I started writing about like some socio-political stuff, and that's kind of what I was inspired by in the beginning. And I really wanted to get away from some of the personal content that I was writing with my old band. And I started diving into that. And as I started to write these lyrics about war and the state of the world and like America's place and all that and stuff, like I found myself like going back to religion is like a root cause of a lot of problems. And like the I guess like the overall ideology that it puts on people in things like Manifest Destiny, or like, you know, believing they have like the right to destroy the earth or whatever for progress and what have you, and like that kind of stuff, it just kept sending me back to like this anti-religious tone. And growing up growing up Christian and then like abandoning it as a late teenager is kind of what I went through. And I have a relationship with religion, I guess, that's like kind of toxic. It kind of put a bad taste in my mouth once I found my way out of it and realized what it quelled and what it stopped me from thinking as a teenager. And I feel like my mind opened up a lot after that. And so this record, as it kind of, I like to say that it kind of like devolves from like a socio-political outworld world analysis into like a kind of an introspective view, like based on that anti-religiousness. Like it's all kind of centered into that. And by the end, you're diving into like concepts that I think are difficult, if not impossible, for religion. And like existentialism and nihilism and like how those things can like inform good behavior in humans.
Okay. So. David, Sawyer, Asa, you guys agree?
Yeah, I personally am.
They're like, no, man, I'm hella Christian, dude.
I'm a post-religious person.
I don't know so much about Sawyer, but I would imagine three of us, myself, David, and Garrett, probably, I know we all have our own weird little stories about growing up with just weird little things that would happen to us as a product of religion and just the way it rubbed off on us in like a really weird way. And then growing up to be an adult and looking back on those things and just realizing like that was kind of messed up. And I don't understand how more people don't realize that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up mostly non-religious, so to slowly be exposed to it more over time really framed it in a lens of oddness as it was, you know, slowly injected more or less throughout my life. And seeing people make decisions based on something that was more or less alien to me at the time definitely, yeah, gives me a frame of reference that makes me land in the same kind of state of mind as the rest of us here.
Yeah, dude, it's funny. When we were writing this, to me, in some ways, like, the record is a snapshot. Even though I didn't write the lyrics, but I was, you know, in Garrett's vicinity as a lot of this stuff was coming together, and it's kind of a snapshot. Like, I feel like I've softened quite a bit on some of my more edgy atheist tendencies that were, like, raging while we were putting the whole thing together. But, That's not to contradict anything on there.
Yeah, and really, like, I mean, to go on what David just said there, like, yeah, the anti-religiousness, like, I don't know, there's like an alienation that comes with that because like still 70 some odd percent of people in this country are Christian, right? And like, you know, it's not to say that like people who or bad or whatever, anything like that, and like I wouldn't call my views edgy. I just think it's just that people should take a step back, and if they look at what they believe from like a philosophical point of view, as if it's not like the only option or the only thought process out there, like Christianity like isn't a bad thing in that way, you know, like the philosophical concepts that were taught by people, like a lot of them are okay, but a lot of them are really not. So between those two things, I think people should take a step back and look at that rather than, you know, accept what they have going on there. And if you haven't taken the time to invest in any other schools of thought, whether it be another religion or just some philosophical ideas, then like you're missing out on like a whole world.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys being, you know, upfront about all of this. Obviously, you know, if you take a look into any of Lilith's, you know, lyrics and imagery and your bio and stuff, it's all up there. So I'm just curious. I'm always, you know, I interview, you know, bands, you know, that like I interview metalcore bands that are Christian. I even interview death metal bands that are super satanic. You know, I interview people that are, you know, have no stance whatsoever. So I'm always just curious where people are coming from as far as like the lyrical, you know, inspirations and stuff. So you guys have the album is Post-Deus. It was released in 2021. Did you guys finish this during the pandemic or was this
Yes, it was mastered like the day that the stay home order went into effect or something. Oh, is that wow. right?
Yeah, we were a decade sound in Tacoma getting it mastered, and I got an email from my work basically saying, "Hey, don't come back for 2 weeks." Like, oh, I guess this is serious.
Yeah, it was like literally the next day, like everything shut down after it got done.
Oh yeah, that's right. The 2 weeks shelter in place, just everything will be fine in 2 weeks. You know, just don't worry.
Right, that's where we thought we were going. We're like,
flatten the curve, 2 weeks, no big deal.
Yeah, we're like, well, we're not going to put this out for a month anyways. Well, you know, that's what we were thinking at the time. And then, you know, it really started to go downhill after that. So
just don't come into work. Just bang your pots and pans for medical workers. And, you know, we'll just
not about that.
Sing Imagine all the people, you know, and
for the first couple nights, I smashed a China symbol on our back porch when they would come back. That got old quick.
Yeah. So the record came out during the pandemic. I guess, how did the pandemic affect you guys as musicians, as a band and stuff? Did you guys still practice? Were you guys able to work on new material? How did it affect you guys?
Yeah.
Pretty badly.
So me and Garrett and Asa all live together.
Okay.
So from that side of things, it was kind of easy. Jam sessions were able to happen in the garage and whatnot. Yeah. Personally, like, I was literally like in LA getting ready to do South by Southwest. I was playing for this other like singer-songwriter dude. And so that, like, because I was going on tour a lot pre-pandemic, and obviously that all came to a grinding halt. But like for us, it shifted our focus to doing music videos very, nice. Very rapidly. All of a sudden it was like, well, that's like literally all we can do. Outside of trying to do some kind of, you know, like broadcasted stage performance type thing.
Yeah.
You know, a couple bands made that work early on, but I also got over that relatively quickly. The Code Orange stuff was cool.
Yes. Yeah. They really knocked it out of the park with that, and they elevated on such a short notice too.
Yeah. But they had like a lot more budget available. So
and they had Hate 5-6 behind the camera, so.
Yeah, Sonny, they had a lot of synergistic factors going on there. Plus the fact that they were like already about to go on tour and had their whole stage show prepped for that. Yeah. And anyways. So yeah, we made a bunch of music videos.
Cool, nice.
And it got depressed. Benefited us
in terms of our live performance the last month or two, because we had a lot of time to really get this stuff tight. Also. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, I hate to be a downer, but like I think for the sake of our band, it's important to mention, like, Greg passed during the pandemic, and like that was like, you know, we had to take a step back at that point in time. Yeah. And give ourselves a little bit of room to breathe before we got this back together. And like, I don't know, the isolation in conjunction with David and I living together, because at the time it was just me, David, and Greg, right? And Asa lived with us too. Asa engineered our record, by the way. I always like to mention that. Yeah. So he mixed it, recorded it, everything. So
awesome.
And then joined the band after the fact. Mm-hmm. So anyway, with all that happening, like, it kind of gave us some room to breathe and accept the things that had happened and figure out, like, pragmatically over time, like, how to move forward, like, in terms of, like, actually moving forward and, like, emotionally doing so.
Yeah. Wow. I imagine that was a heavy, heavy, you know, few months and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Sawyer, how did you join? How'd you jump aboard the Lilith train?
Yeah, I've known David for a really long time. Awesome. We became friends right after high school. They were looking for a second live guitarist. And I have never played anything approaching metal before. I've usually been in little alternative rock bands, and I write my little pop rock and have a good time with my synthesizers.
Yeah.
But David said they were looking for someone with this because I had seen him at his wedding, actually. And I was like, hey, awesome. If you need extra guitar on anything sometime, let me know. It'd be good to play together. And he's like, well, there's this band, Lilith, that I'm playing with, actually, that's starting to try and do live shows. So I tried to learn a couple of them, and it was a new style for me, but it was a lot of fun. And, yeah, they let me through after a couple tryouts, and it's been a ton of fun doing the show so far with them.
Yo, getting okay. to give
the whole team.
I have to give Sawyer so much credit because, like, oh my god, we tried probably what, six other guitar players before him.
It was so many, like, so many people came through like one time and just didn't pass the vibe check or like weren't completely there or anything, and it was just, you know.
Like, and they were all these dudes who had been in like hardcore bands for years, and they were just like struggling through the songs. Meanwhile, Sawyer, who's like never alternate picked at 180 BPM in his life, comes in and like puts in the dedication for 2 weeks, grinds on the metronome, and like is pulling everything off now. So like,
nice. There you go.
Don't sell yourself short, my dude.
I appreciate it. Well, I got really bummed out during COVID and didn't play guitar very much for like the first year there. So it was kind of my coming back to guitar really strong was just like, hey, you know, I'm gonna play faster than I've ever played my whole life to
get
this thing down. So it was honestly like motivation to come back to guitar strongly right at the right time. So
that's awesome. So coming from, you know, an outsider to this, you know, hardcore and metal and stuff, just like being total blind spot and coming in and playing in this, what do you feel, how do you feel about the live shows, and how do you feel about people, you know, fighting the invisible ninja in the pit and all of this stuff? It's got to be so foreign to you.
It is, but it's been fun, and everybody in the band has been really helpful at educating me, because, you know, I don't want to go through this blind. I don't want to be the alternative rock poser boy in the metalcore band,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So, you know, I early on made me a playlist of songs that I should have a listen to. I've got a fucking book that I'm working my way through about the American hardcore scene, so I have a little background, and man, the shows are fun. Yeah, people are throwing around and kicking a little bit more than the little alt rock shows, but everything's been positive vibes at all of them so far. It's cool to get to understand the nuance of heavier genres like this a little bit more, and then I get to, you know, appreciate the writing that I'm fortunate enough to play through that lens as I'm learning more too, right? Because like, this is the only metalcore or the only real metal I've ever played, so now to get to understand what the other bands are doing a little bit better too is tons of fun. So
and I think, like, you know, coming from a different background will give you you guys a fuller sound and maybe round out, you know, like if everyone's coming from the same place, then, you know, maybe everyone's speaking the same thing and it might, you know, sound, you know, too similar to other stuff. If you're coming in with different influences, you know, you have new ears and new ideas, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be fun when we're talking about recording some new stuff pretty soon here too. Cool. So that will be you know, the first stuff that I'm actually on record with Lilith on, as long as we do that as planned. So you know, it'll be fun to see how that all shakes out.
Awesome. Well, we're actually going to go into one of the songs from Post Deus. We're going to go into let's see here. We're going to go into Misled. And anything you guys want to say about this before we jump in?
Live, we have a sick Metal Gear Solid sample for this song.
Okay, nice.
That's it's very goofy.
Here's Lilith. It's Loud and Local on KISW. We'll be back with more from Lilith. Here is Misled.
We'll be right back.
Coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
All right, it is Loud and Local right now. I'm talking with a band called Lilith, and they have an album called Post Deus. They have a couple shows coming up. And then August 31st, a house show in Tacoma, which is, you know, ask around. You'll find out where it's at. But the Charleston, July 8th at in Bremerton. Guys, Lilith, welcome to the show. How you guys doing?
Hello, doing
hey.
Well.
It's doing good.
Right on.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So starting with you, David, what's your name and what do you do in Lilith?
Yeah, so I'm David. I play drums. I do just a little teeny bit of singing also.
Cool. All right, who wants to jump in?
I'm Sawyer. I do one of the two guitars in here along with Justin.
Awesome.
I am Asa. I play the bass and not much else.
Right on.
I'm the vocalist. I'm Garrett.
Cool. Right on, guys. Well, thanks for coming in to the meeting and, you know, doing this interview and, can I get someone who wants to hop in real quick and just kind of give me a Cliff's Notes version of like the what's the origin story of Lilith?
Yeah. So go. What?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So this band sort of came out of another band that I was supposed to play drums for. Garrett was fronting, and Justin was playing guitar for. That was about 5 years ago now. And then things just didn't work out with that for one reason or another, but me and Garrett kept playing together with another guy named Greg, who unfortunately passed away a year and a half ago, something like that. So rest in peace, Greg.
Sorry
but the rest of us sort of converged. I think we've had Sawyer in the band for, what, like 4 months now, something like that. You made your live debut. Sawyer and Asa both. Are the newest, but the rest of us have been at it for, well, me and Garrett have been at it for 4 years basically as Lilith. Everybody else kind of came in over time, but we did the album. Tracks from the album were written as far back as like 2016.
Wow.
Is that right, Garrett?
Yeah, I was in another band that broke up in 2016, and we weren't really supposed to break up, but like two people quit and it just kind of fell apart.
Sure.
And two of the Lilith tracks are like remnants from that, and the rest of the record Post-Deus was like built off those two songs.
Okay. Cool. Nice. Right on. Well, so if you don't mind me asking, where does the name Lilith come from? It's stylized Lilith with a period if you're looking for it, like on Spotify or something. That's the way it's stylized. But pronunciation Lilith, where's the name come from, guys?
Neon Genesis Evangelion, baby. We are cool. Weeb trash. At least me and Garrett are.
I like it.
Yeah.
The period is a shout out to a really good band called Lilith. If anybody's heard of them, so they
of course, yeah. Shout out to Jason from Fever.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, we were hoping that the period was gonna like help our SEO, not realizing at the time that that doesn't register on search engines. So.
Oh, that's funny.
It's just a cool thing.
Fair enough. Well, okay, so you get the band going. So I see, you know, a couple of the t-shirts you guys are rocking, you know, a Poison the Well hoodie, Kubla Khan shirt. You know, were you guys going for just like really like heavy kind of metalcore style? Was that kind of the vision?
Dude, I'm the songs on Post-Deus, I was the primary songwriting force for, mm-hmm. and I'm 30, right? 31, yeah. I guess. So like early metalcore is my thing. That's what I love. So. But yeah, Well is one of my favorite bands, along with bands like Walls of Jericho and Martyr AD and stuff like that. So that's where a lot of my influence comes from, and a lot of modern bands too, like Kubla Khan and Code Orange and Harm's Way, like that stuff like that. Sorry, we're on the radio.
It's all good. We are not live. It's all good. Oh. Well, you can probably tell I like metalcore too. I'm wearing a Dying Wish hat. So
hell yeah.
Right on.
So okay, cool guys. Well, what do you guys think about like the current, like it's like a renaissance of metalcore, you know? You stick around long enough and something's cool again, you know? How's that feel to see the rise of you know, retro metalcore back?
It's funny, I've almost gotten shy about saying metalcore. I've like straight up pivoted to calling ourselves metallic hardcore because I feel like the metalcore terminology, like people hear that and they think like, oh, you sound like Architects or Bad Wolves or whatever, which I mean, and no shade against those bands or anything. That's just like, that's not our vibe. That's not what we sound like. So if I use the term metallic hardcore,
changed the definition of metalcore the last 4 years, apparently.
Yeah. Sure. You know, we don't have like, gent parts or anything. But I'm very happy with all the bands that have kind of become prominent lately.
I'd say you're a little closer to like the Shai Hulud than the Architects, you know, in my opinion. But
yes, I appreciate it. That's what we went for. That was the goal. I do like the renaissance happening. It's good to hear Chugs being cool again.
Yes.
I mean, even when it was kind of dead, it wasn't. So yeah, like I've been going to like I listen to hardcore just as much as I listen to metalcore, and I've been mm-hmm. going to DIY hardcore shows for as long as I can remember. And like, I don't know, they're like, even in like 2010 when like, I don't know, like I, you know, there was metalcore bands playing that were good, mm-hmm. that were like of the old guard, of the old sound, that like they just didn't like, it was all down at a lower level. You know what I mean? Sure. Like it didn't pop off the same way. And so like now to see it pop off is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Cause it's one of those things that feels like it never went away to the people who were there. It's kind of like, you know, you talk to like older people about records and stuff, And they're like, oh yeah, like it's so weird that people collect records now. And it's like, if you come from punk and hardcore, like records never went away. They never stopped. Yeah,
exactly. Totally.
And so it feels the same way about like metalcore coming back full speed to me anyway. So I never went anywhere.
It never died.
Yeah.
True.
So just reading up on your band a little bit, you know, even in your bio and everything, the imagery, your song titles, it's pretty obvious you guys aren't Bible thumpers. where did the influence, the idea to kind of be super anti-religion? And why don't you kind of, you know, just tell me a little bit about that?
So for me, like lyrically, this record was kind of a, I started writing about like some socio-political stuff, and that's kind of what I was inspired by in the beginning. And I really wanted to get away from some of the personal content that I was writing with my old band. And I started diving into that. And as I started to write these lyrics about war and the state of the world and like America's place and all that and stuff, like I found myself like going back to religion is like a root cause of a lot of problems. And like the, I guess like the overall ideology that it puts on people in things like manifest destiny or like, you know, believing they have like the right to destroy the earth or whatever for progress and what have you. And like that kind of stuff, it just kept sending me back to like this anti-religious tone. And growing up Christian and then like abandoning it as a late teenager is kind of what I went through. And I have a relationship with religion, I guess, that's like kind of toxic. It kind of put a bad taste in my mouth once I found my way out of it and realized what it quelled and what it stopped me from thinking as a teenager. And I feel like my mind opened up a lot after that. And so this record, as it kind of, I like to say that it kind of like devolves from like a socio-political outworld world analysis into like a kind of an introspective view, like based on that anti-religiousness. Like it's all kind of centered into that. And by the end, you're diving into like concepts that I think are difficult, if not impossible, for religion and like existentialism and nihilism and like how those things can like inform good behavior in humans.
Hmm. Okay. So. David, Sawyer, Asa, you guys agree?
Yeah, I personally am.
They're like, no, man, I'm hella Christian, dude.
I'm a post-religious person.
I don't know so much about Sawyer, but I would imagine three of us, myself, David, and Garrett, probably, I know we all have our own weird little stories about growing up with just weird little things that would happen to us as a product of religion and just the way it rubbed off on us in like a really weird way. And then growing up to be an adult and looking back on those things and just realizing like that was kind of messed up. And I don't understand how more people don't realize that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up mostly non-religious, so to slowly be exposed to it more over time, really framed it in a lens of oddness as it was, you know, slowly injected more or less throughout my life. And seeing people make decisions based on something that was more or less alien to me at the time definitely, yeah, gives me a frame of reference that makes me land in the same kind of state of mind as the rest of us here.
Yeah, dude, it's funny. When we were writing this, to me, in some ways, like, the record is a snapshot, even though I didn't write the lyrics, but I was, you know, in Garrett's vicinity as a lot of this stuff was coming together, and it's kind of a snapshot. Like, I feel like I've softened quite a bit on some of my more edgy atheist tendencies that were like raging while we were putting the whole thing together. But that's not to contradict anything on there.
Like, I mean, to go on what David just said there, like, yeah, the anti-religiousness, like, I don't know, there's like an alienation that comes with that, because like still 70 some odd percent of people in this country are Christian, right? And like, you know, it's not to say that like people who are Christian are bad or whatever, anything like that. And like, I wouldn't call my views edgy. I just think it's just that people should take a step back. And if they look at what they believe from like a philosophical point of view, as if it's not like the only option or the only thought process out there, like Christianity, like, isn't a bad thing in that way, you know, like the philosophical concepts that were taught by people, like a lot of them are okay, but a lot of them are really not. So between those two things, I think people should take a step back and look at that rather than, you know, accept what they have going on there. And if you haven't taken the time to invest in any other schools of thought, whether it be another religion or just some philosophical ideas, then like you're missing out on like a whole world.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys being, you know, upfront about all of this. Obviously, you know, if you take a look into any of Lilith's, you know, lyrics and imagery in your bio and stuff, it's all up there. So I'm just curious. I'm always, you know, I interview, you know, bands, you know, that like I interview metalcore bands that are Christian. I even interview death metal bands that are super satanic. You know, I interview people that are, you know, have no stance whatsoever. So I'm always just curious where people are coming from as far as like the lyrical, you know, inspirations and stuff. So you guys have the album is Post Deus. It was released in 2021. Did you guys finish this during the pandemic or was this
Yes, it was mastered like the day that the stay home order went into effect or something. Oh, is that wow. Right?
Yeah, we were a decade sound in Tacoma getting it mastered, and I got an email from my work basically saying, "Hey, don't come back for 2 weeks." Oh, I guess this is serious.
Yeah, it was like literally the next day, like everything shut down after it got done.
Oh yeah, that's right. The 2 weeks shelter in place. Just Everything will be fine in 2 weeks. You know, just don't worry. That, you
know? Right. That's where we thought we were going. We're like,
flatten the curve. 2 weeks, no big deal.
Yeah, we're like, well, we're not going to put this out for a month anyways. Well, you know, that's what we were thinking at the time, and then you know, it really started to go downhill after that. So
just don't come into work. Just bang your pots and pans for medical workers, and you know, we'll just.
Not about that.
Sting imagine all the dude. People, you know, and
for the first couple nights, I smashed a China symbol on our back porch when they would come back. That got old quick.
Yeah. So the record came out during the pandemic. I guess how did the pandemic affect you guys as musicians, as a band and stuff? Did you guys still practice? Were you guys able to work on new material? How did it affect you guys?
Yeah.
Pretty badly.
So me and Garrett and Asa all live together.
Okay.
So from that side of things, it was kind of easy. Jam sessions were able to happen in the garage and whatnot. Yeah. Personally, like I was literally like in LA getting ready to do South by Southwest. I was playing for this other like singer songwriter dude. And so that like because I was going on tour a lot pre pandemic. And obviously that all came to a grinding halt. But like for us, it shifted our focus to doing music videos very, nice. Very rapidly. All of a sudden it was like, well, that's like literally all we can do. Outside of trying to do some kind of, you know, like broadcasted, stage performance type thing.
Yeah.
You know, a couple bands made that work early on, but I also got over that relatively quickly. The Code Orange stuff was cool.
Yes. They really knocked it out of the park with that, and they elevated on such a short notice, too.
Yeah, but they had, like, a lot more budget available. So...
And they had Hate 5-6 behind the camera, so...
Yeah, Sonny, they had... They had a lot of synergistic factors going on there. Plus the fact that they were like already about to go on tour and had their whole stage mm-hmm. show prepped for that. Yeah. And anyways. So yeah, we made a bunch of music videos.
Cool. Nice.
And got depressed benefited inside us, a lot.
In terms of our live performance the last month or two, because we had a lot of time to really get this stuff tight also. Yeah.
Well, and also like, I hate to be a downer, but like, I think for the sake of our band, it's important to mention, like, Greg passed during the pandemic, and like, that was like, you know, we had to take a step back at that point in time and give ourselves a little bit of room to breathe before we got this back together. And like, I don't know, the isolation in conjunction with David and I living together, because at the time it was just me, David, and Greg, right? And Asa lived with us too. Asa engineered our record, by the way. I always like to mention that. So he mixed it, recorded it, everything. So and then joined the band after the fact. So anyway, with all that happening, like, it kind of gave us some room to breathe and accept the things that had happened and figure out, like, pragmatically over time, like, how to move forward, like, in terms of, like, actually moving forward and, like, emotionally doing so.
Yeah. Wow. I imagine that was a heavy, heavy, you know, few months and stuff. So,
yeah.
Sawyer, how did you join? How'd you jump aboard the Lilith train?
Yeah, I've known David for a really long time. We became friends right after high school. They were looking for a second live guitarist. And I have never played anything approaching metal before. I've usually been in little alternative rock bands, and I write my little pop rock and have a good time with my synthesizers.
Yeah.
But David said they were looking for someone with this because I had seen him at his wedding, actually. And I was like, hey, if you need extra guitar on anything sometime, let me know. It'd be good to play together. And he's like, well, there's this band, Lilith, that I'm playing with, actually, that's starting to try and do live shows. So I tried to learn a couple of them, and it was a new style for me, but it was a lot of fun. And they let me through after a couple tryouts, and it's been a ton of fun doing the shows so far with them.
Yo, getting okay, the whole team. I have to give Sawyer so much credit, because, like, oh my god, we tried probably what, six other guitar players before him.
It was so many. Like, so many people came through, like, one time and just didn't pass the vibe check, or like weren't completely there or anything, and it was just, you know.
Like, and they were all these dudes who had been in, like, hardcore bands for years, and they were just, like, struggling through the songs. Meanwhile, Sawyer, who's, like, never alternate picked at 180 BPM in his life, comes in and, like, puts in the dedication for 2 weeks, grinds on the metronome, and, like, is pulling everything off now. So, like,
nice. There you go.
Don't sell yourself short, my dude.
I appreciate it. Well, I got really bummed out during COVID and didn't play guitar very much for, like, the first year there. So it was kind of my coming back to guitar really strong was just like, hey, you know, I'm going to play faster than I've ever played my whole life to
get
this thing down. So it was it was honestly, like, motivation to come back to guitar strongly right at the right time. So
that's awesome. So coming from, you know, an outsider to this, you know, hardcore and metal and stuff, just like being total blind spot and coming in and playing in this, what do you feel? How do you feel about the live shows, and how do you feel about people, you know, fighting the invisible ninja in the pit and all of this stuff? It's got to be so foreign to you.
It is, but it's been fun, and everybody in the band has been really helpful at educating me, because, you know, I don't want to go through this blind. I don't want to be the alternative rock poser boy in the metalcore band, sure, right? Sure. So, you know, made me a playlist of songs that I should have a listen to. I've got a fucking book that I'm working my way through about the American hardcore scene, so I have a little background. And man, the shows are fun. Yeah, people are throwing around and kicking a little bit more than the little alt rock shows, but everything's been positive vibes at all of them so far. It's cool to get to understand the nuance of heavier genres like this a little bit more, and then I get to, you know, appreciate the writing that I'm fortunate enough to play through that lens as I'm learning more too, right? Because, like, this is the only metalcore or the only real metal I've ever played, so now to get to understand what the other bands are doing a little bit better too is tons of fun. So
and I think, like, you know, coming from a different background will give you you guys a fuller sound and maybe round out, you know, like, if everyone's coming from the same place, then, you know, maybe everyone's speaking the same thing, and it might, you know, sound, you know, too similar to other stuff. If you're coming in with different influences, you know, you have new ears and new ideas, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be fun when we're talking about recording some new stuff pretty soon here too. Cool. So that will be the first stuff that I'm actually on record with Lilith on, as long as we do that as planned. So it'll be fun to see how that all shakes out.
Awesome. Well, we're actually going to go into one of the songs from Post Deus. We're going to go into, let's see here. We're going to go into Misled. And anything you guys want to say about this before we jump in?
Live, we have a sick Metal Gear Solid sample for this song.
Okay, nice.
That's it's very goofy.
Here's Lilith. It's Loud and Local on KISW. We'll be back with more from Lilith. Here is Misled. Misled by Lilith from the album Post Deus, and they are actually going to be playing. And then August 31st, the Hammerhead House in Tacoma. Ask around for the directions to that one. and you should be able to find out. So just curious about, you know, since this is a Northwest focused radio program, starting with you, David, again, what's your favorite or a couple of your favorite Northwest bands of all time? Could be current bands, could be long gone bands, doesn't matter.
Well, the Melvins were one of my first loves from when I was like literally 3 years old. My dad was playing the Melvins for me.
Awesome. That's a cool dad.
Yeah, dude, I used to like run around the living room and like windmill before I didn't even know how hardcore dancing was or anything. That was just like what I like felt natural.
That's just kids swinging my moshing around. Yeah, that's just kids.
It's a Honey Bucket. Honey Bucket was my favorite song.
Nice.
Other Seattle bands, shout out Kaizo, shout out IS Luna. We played a few shows out of town with them a couple weeks ago. Also a big fan of Spur.
Okay.
He's got a demo out. Filth is Eternal is probably my favorite hard band right now. Yeah. That Foley fit drop is sick. There's a million others who I should shout out, but I'm going to forget. But
Garrett, Asa?
My favorite Northwest bands of all time. Number one is Trial, without a doubt.
Incredible.
Yeah, Trial's a very important hardcore band, and I think they kind of changed the face of the music for a while, and very enlightened. If you haven't heard of them, you should check them out. And then a band that didn't make it quite as big called Cowardice. I became really, really close friends with the vocalist of that band over the years, and he that band sparked it kind of like sparked me to start playing music, no lie. So those would have to be my favorites.
Trial and Cowardice, right on. Shout out to Greg and Jeremy equally.
Yo.
And Asa, what about you?
Ooh. I mean, as far as local bands currently around, I think last time you got asked to shout out a band, bands in a podcast, you totally missed Lion and the Sloth. And
Great
I would
band.
Feel bad if they don't get I don't even know how to describe them, but that was an experience when I finally got to see them live. But like, awesome. I was a grunge guy growing up ever since I was like 4 years old. I think my earliest musical memory was just to be cliche with Nirvana. Like, and like all that stuff. But then, I don't really keep track of the local scene for years. After high school, I actually went to school for music, but I did classical. So I'm a saxophone player. So I guess I'd be remorse to not shout out my man, Kenny G, who's from Seattle.
There you go. He's in Seattle. Yeah. Did you watch, are you familiar with the black metal band called Imperial Triumphant? They just had Kenny G on one of their songs.
Really? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Kenny G and his son are on.
That dude can shred.
Yeah, they're both on the new Imperial Triumphant song and music video. They're both wearing like gas masks playing saxophone through it.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. That's cool.
Imperial Triumphant, check it out.
Yo, Asa, whose record did you mix recently?
Oh, Torn? We did the Torn record very recently. I guess you had them on very recently.
I did.
We live with their now bass player, Taylor.
Oh, nice.
Taylor.
Yeah. Cool. Right on. And Sawyer, what about you? Favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite Northwest bands is not hardcore at all. But I love me some Harvey Danger.
Yeah,
but,
great.
As far as hardcore bands so far that I've gotten introduced to locally, some of my favorites we've played with so far are Self-Deprecator and Rainbow Coalition Death Cult. Both
just Rainbow Coalition Death Cult is awesome.
Yeah, they rock. Self-Deprecator also is awesome. Some of the coolest, most complex guitar I've seen in a hardcore three-piece like that live. It's super impressive stuff.
That's awesome. Right on, guys. Well, you know, you guys coming up here on a couple shows. Do you guys have any more plans for 2022?
We're working on booking a quick tour in September. So hopefully that manifests. We're DIY kids, so doing it ourselves. So, you know, that comes with its own trials and tribulations. But if anything, we'll end up at least getting a few cool shows out of it.
Awesome. Right on. What's the best way to
hopefully new music by fall?
Hopefully new music by fall. Right on. What's the best way to support you guys?
Probably picking up the record on Bandcamp. Digitally, Bandcamp's an awesome platform. I think if any of your listeners don't know about it, they should check it out. It's the best way to directly support artists. You can purchase digital music, stream it from their app, use it like any other streaming service, and you'll find stuff on there that gets buried and buried deep in Spotify and Apple Music.
Definitely.
We also have shirts and hoodies. I think just a couple left on there, but we have a new merch order coming in soon. The design is pretty extra. Hope you like anime titties.
Certainly one way of describing it.
Okay, nice. Right on. Cool. All right, guys. Well, we're going to go into one more song here. And again, just to mention, July 8th at the Charleston in Bremerton, Lilith is going to be playing. And then also August 31st at the Hammerhead House in Tacoma. The post AS is out now. This is what we're playing the songs from. And we're going to go into part two. Any final words for Loud and Local?
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Kickbox in the pit.
There you go. It's part two by Lilith here on Loud and Local.
Coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.